Hello and welcome to UK Health Radio with me, Michelle Hammond. Today we're exploring one of the oldest systems of health and well-being, a system that has been helping people understand the connection between mind, body and spirit for over 5,000 years. Ayurveda, often described as the science of life, offers a profoundly holistic approach to health, helping us understand not only why we become unwell, but how we can cultivate greater vitality, balance, and resilience throughout our lives. Joining me today is Geeta Vara, an Ayurvedic practitioner, educator, and author with nearly two decades of clinical experience helping people reconnect with their health through the wisdom of Ayurveda. Her latest book, Rasayana, Feel Young in Mind and Body with the Wisdom of Ayurveda, explores how ancient principles can support modern longevity, healthy aging, and vibrant living, which is just up my street. So, Geeta, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome you to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science here on UK Health Radio. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be having this conversation with you, Michelle.
Well, it's a joy. We actually met recently, didn't we, at a global retreat centre retreat. So we had a few days of just being immersed into the most beautiful experience to rekindle ourselves, which was lovely. And I know you've enjoyed that as much as I have. And actually, it kind of falls into your whole way of thinking anyway, doesn't it? And also the recent launch of your new book, which we will dive into more for everyone listening. But before we dive into the new book and your sort of passion for all things Ayurveda, talk to me about your backstory. Tell me about how you got to this point in your life and what's led you here.
Yeah, sure, Michelle. Well, it sort of all started from a very young age, except Ayurveda, the word itself, just wasn't on the radar. So much of how I've grown up, you know, in extended family situations with grandparents, uncles and aunts, a lot of our rituals, sitting around the table, eating together with prayer and eating balanced meals, waking up with the sun, all of the things that we do or now is recommended lifestyle advice is just the way we grew up. But when I was studying my business degree, actually, I was also studying diet, nutrition, anatomy, physiology, the Western side. And it was great. You know, it gave me so much insight because I had a lot of interest there. But I always found it to be a little compartmentalized. So what I found was that Ayurveda came to me. I didn't go looking for it. It literally was like an epiphany that I had when I was in an office one day thinking, surely this can't be my life purpose. So Ayurveda really found me. And it just sort of pulled me out. And it's just such a beautiful science, a beautiful philosophy and a way of life, actually, because it's an alignment with nature. So I formalized my studies in my late 20s. I went back to college, did another degree and qualified with Ayurvedic medicine. And I haven't looked back since and I have no regrets. I absolutely love my path.
Amazing. And I can see the joy oozing through as that path emerged, which is lovely to hear. So tell me what it means. So obviously, like most ancient wisdom principles and philosophies, they can get bastardized a bit into modern medicine. So from your understanding and from your education and expertise, what do you mean by Ayurveda? And I know sort of it's often referenced as the science of life, isn't it? What's your understanding or interpretation of it?
So for me, Ayurveda is really, well, the technical term is science of life. So the science of life is really about understanding ourselves, how our body operates, not as a compartmentalized system, but as a eco-complete system. And Ayurveda really is looking at the root cause of diseases when we're looking at the curative side. But the beautiful side of Ayurveda is prevention. So once we do understand how our body works and our unique composition, then we can stay much more in alignment with our body, but also understand that we are a part of the entire macrocosm. So understanding how we operate in the different seasons, how our body fluctuates depending on the time of day. So there's a suitable time for everything. So Ayurveda is looking at the root cause, it's both preventative and curative, and it explores nature and nurture. right? So it's looking at understanding the laws of nature. And really, we can't argue with nature.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's such an all-encompassing sort of wisdom, isn't it, that makes us realise we are a part of something rather than sort of separate sort of from it. So tell me how, I mean, obviously you went back, you studied, you got your degree in Ayurvedic medicine, and then you've been in practice. Tell me how that's emerged. How has the practice from those early days of applying the medicine to now, because you've been in practice for a couple of decades now, haven't you? Tell me about that kind of journey for you and what you've seen, what's changed in the clinic and the type of people you're supporting and their needs.
Yeah, the clinical side has been really, really interesting to see the change for sure. At the beginning, it was a case of, well, a lot of curiosity. People were curious about what is Ayurveda? What does it mean? But also the type of clients I was seeing or still see actually are those who have been down all the different rabbit holes and have not been able to find an answer. And they've come to Ayurveda desperate to find a way of healing. And obviously, when we're at the point of the curative side of medicine, it takes a long time. It takes a long time for a disease to appear. So we can't expect something quick is going to fix that ailment. So it is a lot of unraveling. And what I've seen change, certainly over the last two decades, is a lot more intolerances. You know, people's intolerances are on the increase and lifestyles are changing, stress is increasing, gut health issues are appearing more and more. So those conditions are really coming up more and more, but the curiosity is equally increasing. So people are accepting Ayurveda now as a modality of healing and health. Whereas when I first started, I was doing a lot of convincing, like, this is what Ayurveda is. I was doing a lot of like, this is Ayurveda and this is why you need it now. It's no longer about that. It's like, okay, we know what Ayurveda is. It's on the map. How am I going to use Ayurveda to help me heal?
Yeah, amazing. And I think that's the beauty of these kind of ancient wisdom practices. As you know, I'm a Chinese medicine practitioner myself. You know, Ayurveda has, you know, what is it, a 5,000-year history. There's a reason these things have sustained such a longevity in and of themselves, isn't there? The kind of fundamentals and need for balance within them. And so you work with one-to-ones. I know you also sort of work with group settings as well. And you've just launched a new book. It's not your first book. So actually, just before we talk about your new book, tell us about the first book, because you launched that sort of Ayurveda, sort of a guide to health and sort of healing. Tell us about what kind of drove you to write a book and what it was within that book that was so important for you, for people to sort of know and learn.
Yes. So with the first book, as we were just discussing about that curiosity and not knowing really much about Ayurveda, it's really focused on people who are new to Ayurveda, but it's very deep and detailed. So you can use that guide to really start to get an understanding on your body type, what we call prakriti, or your constitution in Ayurveda. So we go into a deep dive on understanding ourselves and how to bring balance back to your unique self. But one of the other key focuses of the first book is gut health. So Ayurveda focuses a huge amount on and believes that the digestion is the root of all disease, but it's also the root for the curation of all disease. So Ayurveda really, the book Ayurveda really is very much a guide to health and healing for someone new and someone who is also well-versed. There's lots of daily rituals in there. You'll find some yoga postures and ways to understand and recognize signs of digestive and gut imbalances.
I think it was one of our first shows we kicked off with Ancient Wisdom Modern Science was with the amazing Sean Jones, who founded Chuckling Goat, which is a kefir brand. And that came about having saved her husband's life using, you know, principles around the importance of gut balance and the magic of the microbiome, as I like to say. And actually, you know, Hippocrates, the father of medicine, has always been hailed as the founder of that principle, hasn't he? But actually, some of these principles go back further. When you think about gut health from an Ayurveda practitioner perspective, What are you assessing? What are you observing? Obviously, people are coming with symptoms. You're tracing those back to gut. You're using it as a curative path as well. Are there diagnostic skills that you're using Ayurveda to help assess where someone's health is, or is it sort of symptom and observation based?
Well, it's actually both, Michelle. So I think when people recognize and identify that they're having issues, it's already a lot further in the process. So one of the things that's beautiful about Ayurveda is we start to recognize the early signs and symptoms, probably much like Chinese medicine, right? That we're looking at the earlier signs and symptoms, so we don't want to ignore those things. So when it comes to gut health specifically or digestive issues, some of those symptoms could be as simple as smelly flatulence or lack of hunger or not having or having bad breath or having indigestion, loss of appetite, you know, we're lacking luster in the skin. So then these are a lot of signs and symptoms that you wouldn't necessarily go to the doctor with, but they're little niggling things, constipation or loose motions. There's just niggling little things going on in the background, but we just ignore them thinking, oh, it's just going to pass. But we allow that to accumulate to the point where now we're needing to use diagnostics and medication. But I think the beauty about Ayurveda is we're trying to empower everyone to understand that those symptoms are actually signs and signals from the body telling you that there's an inner imbalance. And usually those imbalances come from the three doshas, vata, pitta, and kapha. And to really shorten what that means is vata is an air quality which governs all the movement in the body. Pitta is a fire quality which governs all the metabolism and digestion in the body. And kapha is the earth energy. I mean, it's much more detailed than this, but this is just a very snapshot view. But kapha gives us all the stability and lubrication in the body. So these are the doshas, the bioenergies that govern all the things that are happening throughout our entire ecosystem. So if, for example, vata is out of balance, we're going to see vata types of symptoms in our digestive health. So that could be bloating, gas, flatulence. These are like the air quality rising in the body. So those are the types of symptoms that would show up. But if we already know that, okay, these conditions or these signs are coming up and my constitution is vata dominant, then we can understand how to start bringing balance. And the principles of Ayurveda then come in to teach us that actually we need warm foods, unctuous foods, oily foods, you know, try and avoid cold, light and raw foods. So then we can just start tweaking our entire diet and lifestyle without radical changes or medicine to just be a little bit more aligned to our body and to adjust as the seasons are changing, because we can't have the same diet throughout the entire year. It's got to adapt.
Beautiful. And I love that because, as you say, it's not just about the kind of natural ebb and flow with the world around us and being back into that sort of nature integration, but it's really personalized then, isn't it? You know, we're looking at the individual signals and signs that someone has and what imbalance that's showing in the moment. And I think you're right, that kind of marries over and mirrors beautifully with Chinese medicine. For people that aren't familiar, you said in the book itself, it's packed with kinds and tips and sort of practical things people can do. And I love that. I'm a massive advocate for helping people find practical ways they can put these principles into their day-to-day life. Otherwise, they just stay as great theories, don't they? But as an Ayurvedic practitioner, how do you physically support? If I was to seek out an Ayurvedic practitioner, especially for people that aren't familiar or haven't done that before, not only obviously getting great wisdom and personalized guidance, what sort of treatments and sort of techniques are you likely to do within a session? Hold that thought. We're just going to take a quick commercial break and then Geeta and I will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science with me, Michelle Hammond, where before the break, Geeta and I were talking all things Ayurveda. So let's jump back in.
Yes. So with an Ayurvedic consultation, generally, you know, the diagnostic tools we would use traditionally would be pulse. So we'd look at the pulse. So that gives us a lot of indication as to what the dosha is, your prakriti, your constitution, and the imbalances. But we're also looking at the tongue, because the tongue is a map. Again, like similar to Chinese medicine, it's a map of what's going on in our digestive system. So we get lots of different imprints there. If we've got a heavy coating on the tongue, let's say, for example, that shows us that we are holding a lot of digestive toxins in our system. So we know that we need to clear those toxins out. And one of the rituals we would have in Ayurveda is tongue scraping. So we would get rid of that. But that's just topical. The oral microbiome is just one part of the entire digestive system. So what we then want to do is bring in herbal teas to flush out those toxins. But the other principles that we would use, or the practices or the diagnostics, would be talking. You know, we're not going to a GP and having 5 minutes looking at the problem and then just giving a quick prescription to fix the problem. We're really looking at creating a lifestyle and diet that addresses the root cause. And the root cause always comes down to two things: either an imbalance in your dosha, or digestive health is disrupted. Because if your digestive, we call it Agni, so digestive fire is basically governing everything that's happening in our system. And if our digestive fire is weak, that's when toxins will build and grow. So when we're talking to the client, we get to understand how they're living. Like, what does their day look like? How do they eat? Like, are they even hungry? You know, one of the biggest things that always comes up in sessions is that, oh, I don't even know if I'm actually hungry. Am I hungry? I don't know. Well, it's breakfast time. It's lunchtime. Well, it's dinner. That's when I have dinner with my partner. The people are just eating without understanding that I don't have hunger, or I have hunger. So if we have hunger, the principle is eat. Don't suppress that natural urge. If you're feeling hunger, we must eat. If we're not feeling hungry, then we shouldn't eat, because that's the body signaling to us that we're not ready for that digestion. So in clinic, what ends up happening is we talk a lot about diet, lifestyle. A lot of our physical ailments, what we come to realize, is actually rooted in mental and emotional stress. So that always is an underlying factor. So if we're just giving a prescription of a herb to correct an issue in the body, we're not ever getting to the root. We're only ever treating the symptom. So the sharing and the deep dive in the longer sessions helps us to understand. And quite often, my clients and patients will always have realizations just by talking.
And I think that's so important, isn't it? I mean, you mentioned the typical sort of 5 minutes that, in defense of our Western medicine GPs, is not in their control. I mean, that is just the nature of the beast at the minute. But of course, they have no choice but to just hear the symptom and try to put a plaster over that. And obviously for acute medicine, which is what it was developed for, that's beautiful. But in chronic medicine, which is what typically sort of Ayurveda and Chinese medicine are so much better at supporting, we need that depth, don't we? It needs that curiosity and it needs that discovery. And so an opportunity to sort of be heard from a patient perspective as well, and to share that, and for someone to be able to look at where those connections might be manifesting and those patterns might be emerging is really, really important, and so well worth sort of doing. So yes, I mean, absolutely get an Ayurvedic consultation in and sort of have a session, because as you say, there's so much knowledge to learn and enlightenment even in just that conversation. And so your practice has led you to not only writing that first book to guide your patients and those in your community and who are interested to learn more about the principles of Ayurveda and how to live healthier and well for themselves, but it's also led you to launch your new book, Rasayana, which is a book that's focused much more on rejuvenation and this massive word we're hearing constantly, every opportunity, longevity and sort of health span. And so talk to me about what's led to the writing of the second book, because it's not an easy task, is it, to put your head down and get into writing mode and to produce a body of work like a book?
Absolutely not. It's joys and challenges. And it's funny because this book was actually supposed to happen in 2020. But, you know, as we were talking about at the weekend where we met at the retreat, it's all about divine timing. Timing is everything. I think had I written this book back then, the world probably wasn't quite ready. And longevity is the buzzword at the moment. But, you know, what's happening or what I'm seeing, certainly in social media and a lot of content that I'm seeing, it's around optimization. It's about biohacking, optimization, more, doing more. But actually, we're really far from getting the basics right still. Or we've come full circle, let's say. You know, we're going back and it's going to be repackaged and, you know, sold to us as a next hack. But actually, Ayurveda is all about creating resilience. So Rasayana is the path of essence. It's the journey of rejuvenation. But I really like to think of Rasayana as a way of keeping life juicy. Because health and well-being, from what I've seen in my experience in clinic over the last few years, is people are looking to be healthy and take control of their health. But what that's looking like in reality is constant cleansing, constant detoxing, and just doing more and working out more. And it's just all about optimization. But what we're missing is rhythm and resilience. And what we're really missing is nourishment. So it's not about stripping away and keeping clean. It's about putting back into our system what's missing, keeping our cells juicy, replenishing and rejuvenating our tissues, our body, our mind. So Rasayana really does take the narrative into that direction of, it's not about just living longer. It's, are we living well in those extra years? And we are seeing an increase in a lot of digestive health issues, a lot of mental health issues, so Alzheimer's, dementia. These are all conditions that are on the rise. And we only address those issues when we get to the point of 60, 70 plus. But actually, there's so much we can do to change that trajectory if we just learn more about how we can live better, not just for now, but for our future self.
Yeah, beautiful. And actually, as you were saying that about often we haven't built the foundations, we haven't got the sort of basics right. It reminded me of my coach back in my early 20s, Peter Thompson. He was a famous UK sales coach and was all about understanding the customer and that ability to sell, but via really understanding, not just selling for sales sake, but selling because somebody really needed it, because you've got to know them and you've built a relationship and whatnot. And he always used to have this strap line of forward to basics. And actually, it's so true even now, isn't it? As we're often looking for a fix. But I think we've created that culture, haven't we, as a society, where we've kind of educated and empowered people to think that all fixes and solutions are outside of themselves. And so, as you say, in this, you know, the biohacking sort of, you know, sort of mentality and longevity field is generally people are looking at supplements or pills or, you know, sort of procedures that are, you know, all out here. And there's not a lot of inner consideration or sort of inner work. How does Ayurveda sort of match that? What's your thinking with that, and how you bring this kind of, you know, massive body of wisdom to sort of meet where we actually are right now?
With Ayurveda, it is going back to understanding how nature operates. You know, if we observe how the sun's operating, as the sun rises, it's just gaining energy and heat. And if we think of our digestive system as a mirror of that sun, our digestive system is just waking up in the morning. So in the West, or, you know, in modern times, we've been taught that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. But in the natural world, if we observe the sun and it's just rising in heat, it's not got the capacity to digest. So our digestive system is waking up. So for us in Ayurveda, it's not that the breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It would be lunch, because by the time it gets to lunchtime, the sun is now at its peak. So our digestive system, as a mirror of that, isn't able to digest fully anything that you eat. So I always say to my clients that don't worry too much about what you're eating at lunchtime, but try and pack in all the nutrient dense foods into that meal if you can, because then the breakfast and the dinner meals are less important in terms of how we're digesting, in terms of getting in the nutrients. But what we're really looking to do with Ayurveda is, and Rasayana specifically, is to really replenish rather than deplete. So it's not about stripping away, it's about replenishing, nourishing the tissues deeply. And the tissues in Ayurveda, starting with rasa, rasa is a first tissue, sometimes equated as plasma. So the tissues are sequentially nourished from plasma to blood and so on and so forth. And at the end of that, seven tissues are sequentially being nourished, is what we call ojas. So ojas is like the nectar. So as we know, immunity isn't a system, it's the endocrine organs and then some. But ojas is basically the nectar of our immunity. So everything that we're doing in Ayurveda is to preserve ojas, to keep that nectar alive. So we're always constantly building on that. And certain foods will feed that nectar. So that Rasayana or Ayurveda has actually some beautiful ingredients that we encourage people to have, like dates, almonds, ghee, whole foods, blueberries. I mean, the list is endless, and I cover those things in the book. But we want to give our body nutrients that enrich at a cellular level. So that's what vitality is. You know, it's building replenishment and nourishment back into the cells of the body.
Yeah, amazing. And I love that, because as you say, it becomes much more then about the whole, doesn't it? And nourishing sort of every cell level. And that's actually, I mean, it's one of the things that led me to launch the show. It's that celebration of this ancient wisdom and this knowledge. I'm definitely stepping into forward to basics, but then using modern science, because actually where modern science does have advantages is we can also get some great diagnostics from modern science, whether that is blood tests and genetic sort of profiling or scans and take a look inside. You know, all of these things can help us get a real picture, but in and of themselves, you know, that gives us the data, but it's then being able to apply that knowledge in a day-to-day way and realizing it changes, as you said, not just with the seasons, but actually with those symptoms and issues. And it's about achieving sort of balance. But I love that idea of keeping that nectar alive and flowing. That's really sort of visceral, isn't it? We can also imagine that. One of the other really big topics alongside longevity and rejuvenation and revitalization, and I know a lot of their listeners fall within this category too, as there are a lot of midlife women listening in, navigating menopause and sort of, you know, change. And we've got much better at talking about it, haven't we? But I think that's also spurred this massive kind of rise in consideration for rejuvenation in latter years. And how does Ayurveda meet that? How does this book support people going through that sort of change?
Absolutely. And I think just touching on the point where you said allopathic medicine definitely has a place, and we want to move towards integrating Eastern wisdom with modern science for sure, because the diagnostic tools are second to none. And I do use blood test results and stool results to integrate in, and it feeds into the session. But for midlife women, it does come back to understanding your body type, because our symptoms through perimenopause and menopause will be reflective of your prakriti or your constitution. So for example, if somebody does have more vata dominance in their constitution, then they might experience certain types of symptoms, like they might have more dryness, more anxiety, more issues around sleep, constipation, bloating. So they might have more symptoms of dryness. So we would address those symptoms differently to somebody who might be more pitta dominant. So for someone with more pitta dominance, maybe they are the ones who are going to have that, you know, night sweats, they're going to have the hot flashes, they're going to have the inflammatory conditions, maybe loose motions. So those symptoms start to come out, and then we need to create ways to bring balance back into that. And remember, pitta is the fiery sign. So if we want to bring balance to the fiery sign, then we need to bring in things that are cooling and soothing and more mindfulness into the mix. So definitely there is answers and solutions for midlife women going through the transition. But I would say that we don't want to treat these stages of life as pathology. It's natural, and we want to really adapt to it. So it's becoming into that wise woman version of ourselves and managing our body by adapting to that. But there are herbs, there's diet, there's lifestyle rituals, there's breath work. I mean, there's the toolkit is endless, but what's important is that it will be tailored to you. So what works for one person is not necessarily the solution. So you could be around the coffee table chatting to your friends and everyone's throwing around different ideas, but not all of them are going to be the right solutions for you to transition.
Hold that thought. We're just going to take a quick commercial break, and then Geeta and I will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science with me, Michelle Hammond, where we are talking to Geeta Vara about everything Ayurveda. So let's jump back in. Yeah, and I think that's such an important message anyway, isn't it, is that personalization. And actually, there are commonalities, but ultimately, we are amazingly, incredibly unique. And as such, you know, our needs may sort of vary considerably. So acknowledgement and understanding and acceptance, and although absolutely the same as Chinese medicine, we often get people coming to it as a last resort, or when all else has failed, for sure. How have you seen research change? If we look at the UK specifically, have you seen an improvement in the way research is being done around the medicine? Has that helped validate it and make it more accessible and considered in people's minds, do you think?
Yes, I think now there has been a lot more research on Ayurvedic techniques, Ayurvedic herbs, but I still think it's limited because it's still looking at it from the Western paradigm, like taking something in isolation. What's missing in research, and I don't know if research can ever do this, is understanding the environment in which the condition is manifesting. So we cannot understand the person's emotions and mental well-being when we're looking at our herbs and its effectiveness. So those things are always going to have some limitations, but there's definitely movement forward. And certainly I found lots of really supportive research for both of my books to help support the efficacy of a lot of the herbs and a lot of the modalities. And research is being done, you know, getting sunlight in the morning is now proven that it helps balance our nervous system. But these were ancient practices that were done. We just had a very different language, or we didn't have the language necessarily to describe those things. So I think we've got to look at a lot of the modalities in Eastern principles in its entirety, not under the microscopic lens of Western medicine, because it's a different system. So we don't want to do either system any disservice. So curiosity, openness, and really being on board with the actions you're taking, it's got to really resonate with you deeply. If something doesn't resonate, then it's not going to work.
Yeah, interesting. And that's often the way, isn't it? Is that when something resonates, you know, it has a more profound effect. But also sometimes we can overthink things, go try it. And if you feel better doing it, you know, it's probably going to help. But actually, intuitively, we all feel better when we get out in nature more, when we have more sunlight, when we are finding more balance in what we eat, how we eat, how we're interacting, all of those kind of things, our social connections and sense of purpose. It's back to that kind of forward to basics principle, isn't it? That actually it doesn't need massive amounts of cash thrown at it. It doesn't need the latest wearables or the latest gadgets and tools and resources. There's so much we can do to feel better and to find more joy and to ooze that through our sort of skin and cells as well by simple, very practical, long-standing wisdom. And that's definitely palpable through ancient principles. Principles like Ayurveda. And actually, for me, seeing the needs at the moment of integrative health and well-being, I think actually we're seeing a lot more robust evidence across both Ayurveda and Chinese medicine, aren't we, which is making it more accessible and more practical, which is beautiful. So thank you for the work you've done, because actually by writing books on it and making that accessible for people in our communities means that actually people naturally do become more open and more curious, because they're exposing themselves to different ways of thinking or even sometimes reinforcing what intuitively felt right or what felt natural and what maybe what was even passed down through their own generations and their own cultures and their own heritage, as well as often these things are under different names and different principles. So beautiful to see that. I can't wait to read them. Before I let you go, Geeta, a couple of questions on your own practice. What's one daily habit that you think people should start with if they're kind of new to this and they've kind of really given that power previously to things outside of themselves, the pills, the procedures mentality? What's kind of one thing you think people could easily start with?
I would say the key thing is listen to the cues of the body. So I'm going to give two quick takeaways. One is listen to the cues of your digestion. Eat only when you feel hungry. So if, you know, that doesn't require anything, just quietening down and tuning in. So if you're feeling that sense of hunger, then your body's ready to digest. Don't eat just because it's time to eat. Eat because you're feeling genuine hunger. And the other thing, you know, in the process of writing Rasayana specifically, is we have a vitamin D deficiency epidemic. Everyone's vitamin D deficient. And so we're not getting light exposure. But Surya Namaskar is sun salutations, that we do yoga postures. But Surya Darshan is gazing at the sun and getting that early morning sunlight. It's an ancient principle where we expose ourselves to that sunlight because it is impacting our hormones. So get up in the morning within the first hour of waking up, preferably close to sunrise, and get some sunlight in that first, because that's what's going to reset our entire hormonal system. And eat when you feel hungry. It's so simple.
Powerful. And it's profound, isn't it, in its simplicity. And definitely, I think, in the Western world particularly, that eat when you're hungry. And I know we'll have lots of mums listening. And we're often all governed by those times, aren't we? It's time because the kids have got to go to school, or it's time because we've got this to do after, or whatever. And so often it is about the kind of routines and schedules and to-do list rather than actually a physical or biological need for food and hunger. And hence we see that manifesting in so many ways.
We rarely stop, do we, to notice our breath even.
Yeah.
You know, we're just breathing so shallow. I write in the book about, you know, a monkey breathes like 40 to 50 times, you know, in a minute. And the tortoise is like 4 or 5 breaths. And so you can see, in terms of longevity, the slower we are, more purposeful and intentional we are, the longer we have in our lifespan. So we've got to close that gap between lifespan and health span. So all of the principles of slowing down, being intentional, being curious, being connected to people around us, to ourselves, to nature, they all play a massive role. But we shouldn't need science to prove its efficacy.
Absolutely. Beautifully put. What's the ritual you don't ever stop? What's the one thing that you're like, no matter what's happening in my life, my one go-to is?
Okay, well, I have something that I would never, ever skip, and that's a non-negotiable, and that's tongue scraping. So removing all those toxins from the oral cavity. In fact, I don't think I've missed a day since I've learnt doing it as a child. And I really encourage everybody to do it, because once you do, everything changes. The way you taste food, the toxins are being removed, the flavors that you find from the natural food world. So that would be something I encourage, something I would never skip. And breath work is something that is always there every single morning. It's cleansing for the mind. You're not going to leave your house without brushing your teeth. So this is cleansing for that sort of subtle body, a few deep breaths in the morning. It doesn't have to be all your yogic practices, but a few deep breaths, and do all of those things, bit of breathing, tongue scraping, gaze at the sun before you open your phone.
Yes, beautiful. Absolutely. What lovely wisdom just there. And actually, these things don't often need to be complicated at all, do they? That, you know, really simple things that all of us have the time to do and to give a few moments for. Geeta, thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute joy to spend time with you and learn more. And I can't wait to read both of the books that you've produced. And we'll put all of those details sort of alongside the show notes too. So that's Ayurveda, the Guide to Health and Healing, and Rasayana, which sounds like an absolute must read. And if anyone wants to know more about Geeta, you can also jump over to geetavara.co.uk, and all her contact details and information are there too. Geeta, thank you. What a pleasure.
My absolute pleasure, Michelle. Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Well, what an inspiring conversation. Thank you for joining us. And thank you again to Geeta for sharing all of her wisdom, experiences and insights. It's so fascinating to me when we get to hear about these ancient wisdoms and principles that are thousands of years old, but continue to offer such relevant, practical guidance for modern living, particularly at a time when so many of us are seeking greater balance, energy and resilience. For those that are listening and want to learn more, whether it's about how to connect with Geeta, benefit from her consultations and one-to-one support, or to get access to her latest book, Rasayana, Feel Young in Mind and Body with the Wisdom of Ayurveda, you can do so now by jumping over to geetavara.co.uk. That's geetavara.co.uk. As always, if you've enjoyed today's conversation, please share it with friends, family, and colleagues who may benefit from listening too. And if you want to reach out to me, you can do so at hello@michellehammond.co.uk. I'd love to connect with you, love to hear your thoughts, and of course, always open to hearing about the conversations you want me to have next. You can find this episode and many more inspiring conversations at UK Health Radio, so do check out all the other shows too. If you'd like to connect with me and my professional training organisation, you can jump on over to teapot.org.uk. That's teapot.org.uk. And for one-to-one support, you can find out more by visiting michellehammond.co.uk. Until next time, take care of yourselves. Of course, each other.